Welcome to the Unscripted Creatives. Hey, Brad, what's our tagline today?
Embracing the chaos of creativity today. Yeah. So I have a question. Ready? Do you struggle with focus and clarity as a creative?
And do you set intentional goals before you create? That is what we are going to be talking about today. We are both creatives. My name is Deanna, and this is my co-host, Brad. And we like to talk about the things that, you know, we typically don't talk about as creatives. So that is what our goal is today, is to help you to understand and know that you're not the only one who goes through these mm-hmm. things. And I believe it is a part of the creative process and learning how we create and what we need to do to be the best at when we come into our creative spaces.
Absolutely. So for me, one of the biggest struggles that I've had is just having some focus, having some intention. And I would go into a creative like an environment, go into my studio, go into to work, a project, something like that, and realize that I really kind of just felt chaotic. I really didn't feel like I was bringing the level of focus that I knew I could, especially in creative environments, right? Like a music studio, art studio, things like that. So so today we're going to really talk about just how powerful it is to set an intention, right? When that intention can become like a guiding force for your creative time. And actually, when I was researching this, I realized there's actually quite a lot of like psychological mechanisms that kind of can help prime your faculties to really be more creative. I never really thought about it like that. It always felt very like a flowy creative process to me. But actually, there's actually several mechanisms that are very well documented. And we'll put some of this in the show notes, but just to name a few, there's something called the reticular activating system, which is this really fascinating process.
I've heard about that.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's like it's like a fill. It doesn't make it any less confusing, but I think of it as like a reverse colander, which is probably confusing. Basically, it's a filter. It's our built-in view of the world, right? How we look at creatives, how we look at ourselves, how we look at other people. The things we enjoy, the things we don't enjoy, it's all like meshed together in this kind of grid in our brain. And it helps us filter and helps our brain determine of all the input we're having, right? Our senses are constantly taking an input. What should it give priority to? So it's like this like part of you. Yeah. Think about that.
Yeah, I have a question. So because I've heard about this before and I've read about this in a book, and I think this is the same thing. So yeah. For example, if you are thinking about getting a certain car, let's say mm-hmm. like a Camaro, right? Mm-hmm. And when you activate that reticular activating system, yep. your brain all of a sudden sees Camaros everywhere. That's the system that's being activated, right? Yeah. That so whenever you're focusing on something, you start seeing it everywhere.
Correct. Which is why if like, let's say you, it also works in another, and actually one correction is that it's always on. It's not something you activate. It's something that's just running all the time. So it definitely begs the question of, well, wait a minute, what is my filter? What are the things like, what's my Camaro? Do I have what is the creative equivalent to a Camaro? And, you know, I'm a musician, right? I hear music all the time. Like I'm constantly singing in my head. I'm always doing that. And when I hear songs that hit me a certain way, the lyrics or the singer's voice, whoever it is, like that just, it's like, it gets priority, man. It goes straight in and like touches my core. So there's definitely some amazing things there. And the reticular activating system can also limit what you see in the world. So in the case of creatives, right, we're always looking to like get our art out there and things like that. But we can actually find that if we're not primed, so to speak, to be looking for opportunities for our art, if we, for instance, are holding a belief that we're not that great, right? Or that we're not at least unique, right? That our art, our creativity doesn't really have any value to the world, then we can actually miss by wiring our brain to believe that opportunities to share our work, to promote ourselves, because we just have a belief that that it's not that good or it's not that worthy. So anyway, you really get into
that's
it
like
when you think about it.
Super powerful. Like
it is. It's really
I'm kind
cool.
of being convicted a little bit right now because
we all are, right?
Yeah, I think we all go through that.
Yeah.
That feeling of there's somebody better, we're not good enough, or it's not good enough yet, so I'm not going to share it. And then, like, I have never honestly thought about, which I'm glad you're bringing this up, I've never thought about the RAS is like the nickname for it, reticular activating system. I have never thought about the RAS in terms of my music or my creativity, like until you just talked about that, and I'm like, wow. And it can go either in a positive way or it can go in a negative way. So if you're saying like you're using that filter of I'm not good enough, you will probably miss opportunities because your filter is focused on that negative energy versus using a positive filter, and then you see all of the opportunities that are there.
And there's actually a couple terms for that. The reticular activating system, it seems to play a role in this, a foundational role. The other concepts that are really important for creatives, I think, are things like confirmation bias, priming. So priming is a really cool thing. Priming is a way of essentially saying that they've documented that your brain can be warmed up to certain activities, right? So like, I know a lot of audio engineers and a lot of people who work in music, before they go into a production session, they'll actually listen to, they usually have like a playlist of their top, like, you know, high-end songs or songs that they just really embody. They make them feel a certain way. They set the stage for their ears so that, you know, they can get the sound they're looking for. Well, we always need reference. Our brains are very, they call it neuroplasticity, right? They're very flexible. They can morph, but they also have pathways, right? Like we work in pathways. Our brains are, so if it's not turned on, if it's not juiced up, if you don't use it actively and you're only using a certain pathway in your brain when you create, right? You're actually maybe even limited a bit because it's like a muscle, right? Your brain is a part of your creativity. It's this biomechanical thing that's enabling you to bring your voice and your art to the world. So priming is really important, and we'll put some stuff in the show notes about that. And then the last piece, which is really interesting, it's confirmation.
Can we
bias.
Go we back? All... Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not sure what that is. So what is confirmation bias?
I'm not
an
expert on this at all. But the concept would be, if we go back to your Camaro example, and the example of if I inherently believe something, right? Like, let's say I believe that, that, you know, my music is not the greatest, like is not a true expression. It's not worthy, right? Or if I have some type of, it could be simpler than that too. It could be, you know,
I Camaros think that is very common, actually.
Yeah, it could be like Camaros are the best cars in the world. Like if I inherently, let's say that I grew up and my parents, my dad, you know, hand built a Camaro with them in our garage when I was a kid. And so now I and it represents so much of my life, right? If Chevy comes out with a new car and it's like literally better than the Camaro in every possible way, my bias towards the Camaro because of my life experience, because of my belief system around it, the experiences I have around it, it is a core to my life. It is, right? It's like, so when you see stickers on the back of like cars that are like, you know, Chevy or, you know, Ford or this or that, like, and there's like the cartoon of like somebody peeing on the logo, like that, those kind of things are really the product of, are very likely the product of something like confirmation bias, because there's something about that brand that either has completely turned them off, or something that maybe about the brand that they drive that that is directly like core to their experience as a human. Another way, a great simple example would be like an artist who only used certain brushes, right?
Yeah.
Or certain paints. It doesn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just something that happened. So the point of it all is that if we are carrying beliefs about our creativity, if we're carrying beliefs about who we are as an as a creative, those are impacting our creativity, both in a potentially positive and a potentially negative way, a potentially limiting way, right? So
I'm like so feeling this, because I think especially, I don't want to like step on anybody's toes, but especially coming from a like classical background.
Oh yeah.
I have seen this where there is that bias of this is the only way, and this is the best way. And there are a lot of classical musicians who don't open themselves up to experiencing other genres, which you know, it took a few years, but I worked with someone and he gave me songs that I would have never chosen for myself. Like, I just not. But he heard something in my voice and he's like, this would be great for you. And I'm thinking like, do you know the kind of voice that I have? Like, this isn't. But when I like was open to it and I started singing them, I was like, oh, this actually, this actually works like really well. Right. So I feel like, and I mean, it could go both ways where you have the opposite side where not classical, they like hate it. They're like, I never want to hear opera, you know, just not being open to it. And I think when we are more open to just different experiences, different genres, different creatives, and being able to, you know, sometimes know a certain genre may not be exactly for us, but I feel like there is always something that we can learn from it or take from it that can improve what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the products I think of all of these psychological mechanisms, right? If they are working against you, you will, there will be limitations that they essentially, that's how they express themselves in your creative world. So like, for instance, if I'm an artist, like a sculptor, right? And I primarily work in like pottery. And then I'm standing around and someone having a conversation about like the wire necklace art where, you know, they're winding coppers and stuff like that. And let's say that this person, unbeknownst to you, is someone who's really wanting to invest in that type of art, right? And the pure creative version of you, the one that's just like, I want to create, I want to express this deep beauty that's within me and bring it to the world, that part doesn't really care what medium, right, that that your beauty is being expressed in. That part of you just wants to be expressed. Like that's its nature, right? So what I've found as a musician is I've missed opportunities, right? Or I've met artists who've missed opportunities to say, in this case, switch, you know, a project, do a project in wire art, do a project in classical, do a project in, you know, bluegrass music, you know, because I'm a musician at heart, because I'm an artist at heart. And my job on this planet is to bring my creativity, to give as many, to connect, right, with as many possible ways of expression. There's a freedom in that. There's also some fear in that, right? Like, well, I've never done that before. And what happens when we're offered these opportunities, maybe, or somebody's like, hey, come make this thing for me or do this gig or whatever it
is. And you're like, oh, I've never done that.
And so this gets back to our own biases against ourselves, like confirmation bias. I am this. I am not that, right? mm-hmm. or because I am this, I can't be that, right?
Yeah.
So there's this really interesting kind of trait. So the point of all this, discussing these things, and again, we'll put some, a lot of stuff in the show notes for you, but the real key here is intention, right? Intention to explore this part of yourself, this part of your creativity. What biases am I holding? What am I programmed to do? What are my guide rails that I'm currently operating in? And should I widen them? Shouldn't I broaden them? Right. There's also plenty of cases where maybe you realize that you are really made to be a classical singer. And there is constant positive feedback and reinforcement in your life that says that you should do this one thing, right? And so that's mm-hmm. also a role. The point is not to limit ourselves. The point is to not limit ourselves and to fully explore the creative expression that's trying to come through us. And intention is very important in that. And understanding that these processes are happening, whether we understand them or not, like there's plenty of evidence to show that in whether you're creative or not, that these processes are happening and we have these mechanisms built in.
Yeah, I have to say that this was really eye-opener to me. Like, y'all who are out there, like, we do plan these things, and Brad took the lead on this one, and I was not expecting it to go this way, and my eyes were really opened mm-hmm. about your reticular activating system, your RAS, mm-hmm. and how I was even kind of limiting that system for, you know, focusing on, like I said, like a car or something like that. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you see these things. And I had never thought about how do I use that as far as my creativity is concerned. That was like very eye-opening.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's there's, you know, there's so much that we don't know. I think that's the first kind of moment you realize, like, oh my gosh, like this is happening all the time in me as a part of me, and I don't really understand it. And I think there is that moment of awe when you really start to understand those things. I think that the last piece, you know, that as far as these takeaways, there are some pretty practical tips. The good news is there are some very practical, simple things we can do to kind of work to acknowledge that these are happening in us, as well as start to identify what the actual products of them are. So a great example, I mean, this sounds very simple, but it's true, is just dedicating some time to journaling, to exploring what these things are doing in you. How are they impacting your life? And I think, you know, many of us, I'm sure, have either done some meditation, prayer, just quiet time. You know, there's moments like a walk out at nature. There's a lot of ways that you can kind of check in with yourself. So I would encourage everybody to actually have a check-in moment about their creativity, you know, really look at it as like, wow, this is like a huge part of me, right? Like my desire to bring forth this thing that's coming out of me in all these different forms. What does that feel like? What is that
for everybody?
Yeah. Like, yeah, that's great. Like, what does that process look like? What is that characteristic of me actually look like? So as an example, I always like to listen to music when I'm in the car. It's not just because it's fun. Like sometimes it's a lot of fun and, you know, you listen, you turn the windows down and you turn the music up and you go. But a lot of times I'm listening to music that has very little connection to the genre that I actually work in. Right. And part of that is that it gives me a tremendous amount of perspective, right? It shows me that, wow, there are people who are extremely passionate about folk music. There are people who are extremely passionate about instrumental atmospheric music, right? People who spend, like, there's artists that have put hundreds and hundreds of tracks of like meditation and calming type, you know, music out on their profiles. And they're, you know, they're generating so much revenue, right? Just from doing this one thing that that just resonates with them. I find that really fascinating, you know, that someone could be as passionate about what I'm doing, but it's a completely different thing, you know? And so it takes time to reflect on that, right? And it's important to set aside some time, I'd say on a weekly basis, just to journal, to reflect on how am I doing, how am I feeling, right? And we can, so that's one great tip that would be, I think, really effective for people. And then we will include in the show notes a link to some articles where you can kind of digest some videos. You can digest this concept of reticular activating system. Just that alone, understanding that concept can really help to kind of help solidify that there is a process inside of you if up here, you know, that is actually impacting your creativity in a big way. And journaling and reflecting about that as well. What might those things be? What is being filtered out? What is my brain giving priority to, right? Those are some really key questions that I think will kind of break open. If that shell's not broken open you yet, kind of break open that perspective and allow you to explore it a little bit more.
Yeah, that is very, very powerful. And I'm excited about our next episode, which I hope you guys will join us back for that, where we will be talking about navigating distractions and the overwhelm. Okay, so that you can, after you have filtered, you've used your RAS and have learned about that, and you've filtered, you hopefully have a positive filter. And now we go to, we all know, we struggle with this, navigating distractions and overwhelm. It is very, very common. So thank you guys so much for joining us today. This is the Unscripted Creatives Podcast, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Take care.